who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, July the 10th, 1999. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Well, yeah. Well, this preaching and sharing has been good, but I just want to sit back and watch God. I really do. And, you know, it's hard to get up and try to preach after a week of preaching of deliverance. So I was praying this morning, and I told my husband, I had three notebooks in my car, went upstairs, didn't use one of them. I said, I have no idea what the Lord wants us to do. So I had been really wanting to do some on healing, and I'm very, very interested in healing right at this moment. I always am, but, you know, we've not done any deliverance too much on healing, for healing. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going through some scriptures that we all know, and if we don't know them, we should. And then we're going to have some deliverance on physical things, if you'll bear with me. So praise the Lord. I do praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. And I was talking about, Bernice, talking about our meetings upstairs. You know, I enjoy preaching down here, but there's a lot more freedom upstairs with those women than it is down here with all the men. So I praise God for what He's doing. I think I titled my sermon, Healing and Deliverance. I believe healing and deliverance and healing goes hand in hand. My husband informed me that healing and deliverance was the same, and I said, yes, that's true. But I know that we want to cast out some spirits and pray for the healing of the problem. So whatever the enemy has done. So if you will, open your Bibles to Acts 10. I just have one verse. You don't have to if you don't want to, but one verse I want to read here. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, verse 38, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And I've heard all these scriptures that I'm going to use, I think almost every one of them this week. Someone has used them. But you know, let me get this other microphone. I don't think I can stand still. The hand mic, if you will, Brother Glenn. Stand still. So I want to use this one so I can move around. God has given us authority. You know, I was sharing with the girls upstairs, and some of them found things, some of the things I was saying hard to receive sometimes, but I tell them they'll throw away, look into the Word and see, let the Lord speak to them. But God's given us authority and dominion over the dust of the earth, which we are. And I feel like that if we will take our authority over this dust we live in, this body we live in, and apply the Word, that we should walk in health. And we've just been through a real battle. Y'all know part of it. You don't know it all, but you know part of it. Jim and I have, and I'm mad at the devil. He told me when I brought Jim home, that you won't preach healing no more. That's what he told me. I said, you just hide and watch, because I will preach it, because I know it's true. So does my husband know it's true. And a lot of times people get disgusted and angry with me when I say, you know, my doctor's Jesus. And he's been my doctor now for a long time, and I know he is yours, and he is Jim's. And we have not been involved with medication. I haven't, and Jim and I haven't in years. And when I told the doctor that not to give Jim didn't need a lot of medicine, he really got aggravated with me, said he has to have it, you know, because of the pain and so forth. But I don't want to get on that. But what I want you to do is to hear me with your heart and your spirit and believe. I know that we know it mentally. We have sent it. We have sent the Word mentally. And we know the Word's true here, but we need to have it true here and let it work within us. And the biggest thing that I want to share, I'm going to share some scriptures here and there, is that if we will start commanding this body of ours to line up with the Word of God and take an authority over it, I believe we can walk in health, in not just in healing, but in health. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us sick. And as I said, I want to use as Jesus came to undo the work of the devil. 1 John 3:8 said, by this, and we sing this in our church, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. No principality nor power shall stand before my God. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. Amen. And you know, it's true. Jesus was manifested in the flesh to destroy the power of the devil. And he gave authority unto you and I. And he said, now you go. I was telling the girls up there, and I don't have these scriptures in my notes, but I'm going to repeat them again. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-19, he said, for all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. All power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. He said, now you go and make disciples. And then I had Mark 16, where he said, now you go and you cast out devils, you heal the sick, you raise the dead, and all of the things that he told us to do. First, he tells us that he's given all the power, he's been given all the power and authority in heaven, but he's in heaven. And then he said to us, you go and make disciples, and what we're going to have to do is to take that word and go forth and believe it. Amen? I'm preaching to me. If I'm not preaching to you also, if y'all are going to say amen, I'm going to say amen. Because I'll tell you, where I've been, there was nobody believed in anything but the, oh boy, you spend any time in a hospital, you can know how angry. I was so tired when I came over here from fighting the spirits in that place. They drain the very life out of you. Man, if I'd been there much longer, they'd have put me to bed. No, they wouldn't either. I wouldn't even lie down on the cot. They brought me a cot, and I thought, no way, that's like going to bed. You're not putting me in bed. And I meant it, too. But let's go over to Luke chapter 4. I'm taking my liberty this afternoon. I'm going to do this the way I want to do it. Way the Lord. Well, that's just the way the Lord wants to do it, okay? And I don't know how he's going to do it. He's telling me. I'm trying to find me a new Bible. My Bible's so torn up. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 17 says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the sick, heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus came into the synagogue, and he said, he came, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to the poor. He's telling them, hey, you don't have to be poor anymore. And then, you know, a lot of faith message comes from that scripture. But, you know, we need to know this. He said, you don't have to be poor. If we'll obey God, we won't have to be poor. He'll meet our needs. And then he said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He came forth to bring healing. And then he said, to preach deliverance to the captives. And those that are captive want to be free. And recover the sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. And you know what the Lord was showing me? I had been having trouble with the right eye. And I thought I needed new glasses. And I told you before, the only doctor I've gone to in how many years? 20-something years has been to have my eyes checked. And I said to, when I was sharing this, you know the reason we don't get our eyes healed, I know the reason I don't get mine healed, because I'm lazy. I am lazy. I was having trouble with this right eye, so what I did was that I started rebuking the devil off of it. Thank you. I started rebuking the devil off of it and the witchcraft off of it. And I was going after witchcraft. And I was commanding my eye to line up with the word. It will see. I will see in the name of Jesus. And I told Jim, I said my eyesight got better. But then he got sick and I forgot about it. You hear me? I was working on my eyes. And when he got sick, I forgot about my eyes. And I was working, praying, and then we were standing with him. And then all of a sudden, I told him this morning, I'm having trouble with my right eye again. I got to get out of being lazy and go to work on it again. Apply the word to my eyes. And I was going after witchcraft. I never go after hardly anything except witchcraft when I go after physical things, because 9 times out of 10, I've received something from someone. He said, well, if the enemy doesn't want us to see. And, you know, if you're studying the word and reading the word, he likes to run the letters together for you sometimes. And to get your mind off on something else, he'll work in every way that he can to keep you from reading and receiving. But we get lazy. I know I do. And I want somebody else to do it for me. I went home yesterday afternoon and I was having foot trouble. I've been praying for people for feet trouble. Everywhere as I turned, someone was having trouble with their feet in here. And I got home and I was having trouble with mine. So what did I do? Didn't pray for my feet. I probably was praying for other people. And he prayed for me. And I sat there and thought, you know how to rebuke that stuff. Start working on it. And so I began to rebuke and say, no, you leave my foot be gone in the name of Jesus. He prayed for me and a lot of the pain left it, but I was still having some trouble with it. So I began to apply the word. I stand on the word. The word says that by the stripes of Jesus, he gave us authority. And he said that we can rebuke, we can stand, and we can cast out. Amen. He said, this is infantile. Listen, this is life. This word is life. And we need to believe it. Look over in verse 38. Let's look at, I'm going to give you several scriptures on spirits, but then I'm going back to what the taking dominion over this ground that we live in. In verse 38, he said, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now, many times, most of us will rebuke a fever. If we have a fever tries to enter someone around you, or you get sick, you rebuke it. And sometimes we'll rebuke it, and then maybe it doesn't go the first time. We rebuke it, and we'll tell it to go again. And then if it doesn't go, we might reach and get an aspirin or something. I don't know if you do that or not, but I know people that do that. But you know what? I believe in staying. You know, I came through the charismatic that group where it said you pray once, and if you pray twice, you're not praying in faith. That was what I was taught. And I said, you know, I found that even Jesus prayed for the man with the blinded eyes twice. You remember? He laid hands, he prayed, and he asked the man what he saw, and he says, I see men as trees walking. But he wasn't seeing them clearly. So Jesus prayed again, and he received his sight. So I said, well, if Jesus had to pray more than once for something like that, then I know where I have to just keep praying until I receive what I need from him. And so I just began to, you know, I learned, Brother Glenn said he can't pray sitting down. I can't pray and I can't talk unless I'm moving. And I move when I talk, and I pray. You get me on the telephone, and I'll walk all over my house while I'm talking. I just can't be still. You say, you need deliverance. No, I like to walk through my house, and while I'm praying for other people, my house is receiving it. But we need to stand on the word until the word begins to spring up in our spirit, and we see the fruit coming forth from the word as it goes in us. But sometimes we're so spiritual that we won't do that. Is more the truth, I think. We know how spiritual we are. Sometimes I feel about it. No, I won't say that. Praise the Lord. James has been asking me about some things I said. I appreciate that. Praise the Lord. I didn't finish that one. He said, and the fever, he rebuked the fever and it left her, and immediately she rose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. You know, excuse me just a second. A lot of people use that scripture and say Jesus wouldn't let them talk, so you don't need to let demons talk. Well, sometimes they talk anyways, even if you're binding, and many times I can hear a lot of things that I can learn how to get the things out. But I believe what Jesus was saying there when he said he rebuked them and they suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ, and it wasn't time for that knowledge to be known. And I firmly believe, fully believe, that's why he wouldn't let the demons talk, because if you go over when he talked to the Gadarene demonic, he asked him who he was. And he said his name was Legion, because there were many of them there. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Peter cast the spirit of fever out of his mother-in-law, and then she, another scripture says, she got up and she fed them. She ministered to them. And Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. And I see that. I know he healed the sick and he cast out demons, but I see that he cast out the spirit in the individual that were sick, and then he healed the physical, what they had done to the body. And when you go after a spirit of infirmity, and I found this one, we had Jim was talking about Doc this one. Doc, we talked about you. We love you. We're just talking about you. And we're talking about the miracles he had seen, about seeing people raised from the dead and things like this. And I said, Jim, do you realize what God has done in our little church? I said, you know, we forget what God does. We had a lady healed of, we had a man, this man healed of epilepsy 10, 15 years ago. But just recently, we had a lady healed from MS. We had a lady healed from lupus, and we've had, I had a cousin that was healed from brain tumor. They had sent her home with an inoperable brain tumor. And I just, you know, God healed her through the word and just spoke the word. Just, she was going to the Baptist church, and her mother called me to come over there. She knew that I was weird, strange. She said, she's strange. Let's get her over here. She'll pray. And so we went to, we came over to Arkansas to my cousin's house, and I spent 5 hours with her, just she and I in the bedroom. She was in the bed, and her head had already begun to lose its shape, and the back of it was really out of shape. And I just sat on the side of the bed, and I talked to Faye about the Word of God. And I continued talking to her, and they wouldn't let anybody in the room where we were. There's a preacher or two came by, I was going to pray for, you know. And for some reason or another, they didn't let them come in. And I was in there with her and just speaking the word. Well, we went home from there. I didn't see anything different with her when I left, except the pain was gone. And that was tremendous. But that was the only sign that I had. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from her mother, and I think I could have heard her if she had just left the phone alone and hollered at me, because she was so loud. But she had gone back to the hospital. What had happened, the reason they hadn't told me anything, and they checked her out, and there was no sign of that tumor. And so we have seen God do many mighty miracles in our church. And I was telling him, I said, you know, we see these things happen sometimes, and then we forget them. We go on and we're doing these other things and we forget. But now when you need a miracle, you go back and you remember those things. And I believe that if we will get that word so in us on what Jesus has, what God has given unto us through the Lord Jesus, that we're going to see greater things happening in our lives and in our families and around about us. I believe that, as the brother was talking the other night, said, how many people have you got to witness to today? And, you know, the witness is seeing the word perform, the miracles and things come forth, that the unbeliever will see it and turn to the Lord. And I believe if we will get the word in us and begin to believe the word, not just mentally saying it, well, I know that. How many times when somebody's preaching, say, oh, Lord, I could preach that even better. You know, I know that. We do that. We may not say it. We think it. And what we need to do is listen to it and let that word become alive in us. We have left our first love. Migraine, oh yes, migraine. He was reminding me of the lady that came with a migraine headache to us. And she had been going to the doctor for years with migraine headaches, and they would take her to the doctor, and he'd give her a shot of something, knock her out for 3 days, and then she'd wake up, she'd be over the headache. And she started coming to our church, and she just received the baptism. Jim paid for her to receive the baptism in our church, and I don't think we were even talking deliverance very much then. And she came to the house. They called and said they wanted us to pray for her. They brought her up to our house on Saturday morning, and Jim and I sat there, and we were praying, and we were calling off all these, calling off pain and all this stuff, and I don't remember what all we did call off of her. Prayed for her for about 3 hours. Every symptom was gone. Every sign of the headache was gone. But we had gone after a lot of things, because this was early when we first started in the ministry, and she has never had a migraine headache since then. God totally delivered her that morning from that headache. And from then on, when she got sick, instead of going to the doctor, she came to the church. And I've seen her come in. I've seen her bring her children in, wrapped up in blankets. I know you all have seen these things, too, but I think we need to rehearse them sometimes. Jim and I need to rehearse them to remember all the things that the Lord has done, and it was, you know, for us. But we need to stand upon this word. We need to believe it. And he said in verse 16 that he cast out the spirits with his word. It's the word of God. It's Jesus. He sent his word and healed them of their diseases and delivered them from their destruction. So it's the word that comes forth that becomes alive with you and I. And that does the work, okay? Everybody knows that and agrees with me. Do you know what? We really do need to rehearse it. We get busy. We want to go on with the Lord. But, you know, I have been going back to the beginning where God first brought me to when he put me in deliverance and renewing the word in my spirit, going back over it. And desirous to go on further. I'm not trying to go backwards, but I'm trying to put more and more of the word in me so that I can stand and see God do the things he wants to do through me. Over in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 9, in verse 27, said, when Jesus departed, thence two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man... Men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Do believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith. Do you hear what I'm doing? I want to tell y'all something. Do you hear what I'm doing? I'm reading that word, and I'm trying to quote it instead of reading it. That's what we do. Instead of saying it like it says and like it is, we quote it, and we won't hear what it's saying to us because we have known it so long and know about it that it's not real to us anymore. And I'm up there trying to quote it instead of reading it. I'm misreading it because I'm quoting it. Now I'm going to start over. I'm preaching to me. I told you I was. Just bear with me. Go on with me. We'll have fun. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this. They said unto him, Yea, Lord. And then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith. He touched them. But he says, according to your faith, when he touched them, it was their faith, be it unto you. They believed he was able. And we believe Jesus is able to do what we ask. Don't we? But many times we don't think he will. I know he's able to do it. And I know that he does it. But is he going to do it for me? That's where we are messing up, people. We are not in faith, even in the area of deliverance. We have got to believe it. We have got to believe, got to know that we 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 know that it's going to work. We've got to exercise our faith. How does faith come? By hearing the Word of God. And do you know, I say this all the time, I believe the word, when I quote it, when I say it, I believe what I say more than I believe what anyone else says. So, you hear what I'm saying to you? So we need to read this word aloud, let our mouth say it, let our ears hear it, and let it become a reality within us. Amen? And then we will see God's word bring forth fruit. And their eyes, verse 30, and their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. So, now, let's go to James chapter 1. I was reading this morning, and this is the scripture the Lord, the Holy Spirit gave me. And I thought, I haven't read that scripture in a long time, Lord. I had to confess. James chapter 1, verse 22. Now, I quote it. Verse 22. What does it say, Brother Glenn? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And that's what he was saying to me. Don't be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of it. You know, the more people we pray for, the more we speak about Jesus, the stronger your faith becomes. And that's why it's so important to go and, as you go, preach the word. Preach it. And talk to people about the word before you pray for them. Build faith in them, but what you're doing is building your own faith up, so when you do pray for them, you know that you know God's going to do perform his word. And then he said over in James 2, verse 17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So as we stand upon that faith, and as we begin to do that faith, do the things that the word says, our faith is built stronger. And we really come to a place where we believe. I preached a sermon in our church several years ago on unbelieving Christians. That we were unbelieving believers. We believe, and then we're like the man that prayed and said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And we don't like to confess that we're unbelieving, because we know the word. But the thing is, we have sat back and have not done the word and perform the word. We haven't been doers of the word enough to build our own faith. And this is why the enemy's come in and he steals the word from us. But you can pray and lay hands on the sick and believe and see the word work, and it'll build your faith. So you can believe the Lord for what you have need of. Romans chapter 10. I think we sang that this morning. And I was thinking about when we were singing Romans chapter 10. I bet you can't tell me what it was that we sang this morning that I'm fixing to read to you. Because we were singing the word. Verse 8 of chapter 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word which we preach. And over in verse 16, he says, but I was just going to verse 17, but I had backed up and read the whole thing through here. And said in verse 16, says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias said, Lord, who has believed our report? He's quoting Isaiah, where Isaiah said, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He said that, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went out in all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. And so he said, we've heard the word, and we have it in our heart. We speak it in our mouth, out of our mouth, and we need to start believing it in our heart and doing the word, standing on the word. I talk about sometimes when I'm teaching on healing, I'll say, tell them there's been a time when God healed my broken foot. I fell in Walmart one time and broke my foot. And I don't know how I got home. I got home with the thing, and it hurt so bad. And I was sitting on the couch, and the thing was hurting so bad I couldn't stand it. So I thought, well, stand on faith, and you say you were faith in it. I said, well, if my foot is healed by the stripes of Jesus, then what am I doing sitting here? So I worked my way up. I don't remember how. Jim was going to help me, and I said, don't touch me. And I got up on that good foot. The other one was hurting. I was wanting to scream, and I thought, if that foot is healed, then I'm going to walk on it. So I put my foot down, and all I could say was Jesus. And I began to move. Jim can vouch for this. It took me 2 hours. I walked before, and it was very, very painful. Hurt. I was crying and saying, Jesus, Jesus. That was all I could get out. Then I began to pray in tongues. Finally, when it seemed like it began to ease up a little bit, the pain eased up. And then all of a sudden, it was gone, just like that. And I was standing on the word, but I have many times put my Bible down on the floor and stood on it and said, God, I'm standing on the word. And I'd say, devil, I'm standing on the word. And the devil would say, you don't look like you're healed. When I'd say I was healed, he'd say, you don't look like you're healed. I said, the word says that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed 2,000 years ago. Now, what I'm not trying to tell you to look at me. I'm trying to tell you that God's word works. It works. It works. And it takes us believing it, standing on it. And if it takes putting your Bible on the floor, somebody said, well, your book's holy. No, mine's pretty holy, holy. It's full of holes. It's tearing up. But put it on the floor and say, Lord, I'm standing on your word. You know, he says, put me in remembrance of my word. He says, come and let us reason together. And I said, God, this is what your word said. This is what your word said. And you said you can't lie. Now, God, if something is wrong in me, if it isn't working for me. It's not God that's wrong, it's me, and I've missed it somewhere. And so I go back and I start trying to find out what is wrong with me. And I want to confess my sins. I've been doing that. You know, you said, the Lord, there must be something I have missed. And you look at yourself and you examine yourself and you pray and you ask God to show you. And then I go back to the Lord and I say, Lord, this is what your word says. And he said, come and let us reason together. And I was going to use Isaiah 1:18, where it says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And then he gave me another one over in Isaiah that says, come and let us reason together. And I want you to know that God's word says he's given us authority, and we know that authority. And so what we've got to do is start believing it, that it works for me. And well, I believe that. Well, let me ask you something. Are you healed? Do you have any physical problems? I'm not trying to condemn. I'm trying to say, if you have, let's start putting a word on it. We're going to do some deliverance for it in a little bit. But in the meantime, let's start believing the Lord. Let's start saying, Lord, where have I missed you? Where have I failed to obey the conditions for your word? Amen? Okay. I'm getting healed. Amen. And the devil's a liar and the father of liars. Let's go to Luke chapter 13 and verse 11. Brother Tommy preaches this, but I'm going to share it this afternoon on healing. In verse 11 of chapter 13, it says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed over and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. But well, I read this to show you that, to remind you, I know you know this, but I wanted to remind you that the woman was bound for 18 years. She had a spirit of infirmity, and she was a daughter of Abraham. She was a child of Abraham, a daughter, and she had this spirit that had bound her and made her bend over. How many people have you passed on the street or in stores that you've seen that I have seen them so, their bodies so crooked, that they walk and they look up like that, and it's, see, if I was walking in this healing and faith like I should, And if I'd been, could hear the voice of the Lord and go over and lay hands on someone like that, and we'd see them straighten up and walk. Well, that's what I want. And I believe God wants it more than we do. He wants us to do this. And we have, like the brother said the other night, we're afraid it won't happen. Well, it won't happen for me because I can't heal, but God can. He just wants somebody to be obedient. I can't heal a fly, but God can. And what we need to do is what Jesus did. He laid his hands on her, and he first, what did he say? He spoke to the spirit. He said, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." You think he was speaking to the spirit that was bounding her? I do. And then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Healing, first of all, she was delivered, then he laid hands on her and healed her. Can you see that? Or am I going to see that? I believe that. I believe that I was telling those ladies upstairs, this lady that just came into church, she'd been to the doctors, and she was finding herself becoming crippled. Her muscles were messing up, and they were telling her about the wheelchair and all this, where she was going, you know, on her way. And she came to the church for deliverance, and I didn't know what the doctors had said, but I heard the Spirit of the Lord say it was MS, and so when I went to pray for her, I didn't call it MS. I just said, "You spirit that's causing these problems in her body, I command you on the authority of the Lord Jesus to manifest yourself." I wanted to know what it was. I wanted to know who that dude was, and I want to know what gave him the right to do this to her. And he manifested, and we cast him out. She went away healed. She's healed today. She's working, and she does not in a wheelchair, and her muscles are working. And she's okay. So, and I said to them many times, and I believe this firmly, that until and the doc may not agree with me, and that's his privilege to be wrong if he wants to. I'm sorry, Doc. I love it. But I tell you what, I firmly believe when it's a spirit of infirmity, a sickness, that I need to know where it came from and how it got there and what it is to get a person healed from it. I can go after the symptoms. We did a lot of deliverance on Jim. Went after symptoms, all kinds of symptoms. But until we get the right name of what's caused it and where it came from, this is what I believe. Now, everybody doesn't believe like me, and that's okay. But until I know where it came from and what it is, then to get him delivered from it, we've got to know exactly what it was, right? Say, well, somebody said that to me up there, well, why can't you just call sickness off? I said, well, there's a lot of sickness and there's a lot of manifestations. It's like going out and cutting my grass. I cut the top off, and next week, and when I go home, it'll probably need cutting again. I cut it the day before I left. Until you get the root cause of a problem out, you still got the problem. And that's why so many people lose their faith in the area of healing and deliverance. Unless you get the root cause of it out, then you're still going to have problems. And we've seen that happen over and over again. We have seen it happen that way. But the minute we get the root cause of it, and I firmly believe my husband was cursed. I don't care what the doctors call what or anything else. I believe he was cursed. And I have not got the direction from which it came from. So we're working on it. And when we get the root cause of it, I believe he'll be totally delivered from it, every symptom. It's mighty quiet. But that's my belief. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over in our church. I know when I got where I couldn't walk off and on for about 3 months, I had trouble with my back. I wasn't crippled for 3 months, but I couldn't walk without pain. And when we found out where it came from, I got free from it. I hadn't had another attack of it. And it was witchcraft curses that had been loosed upon me. And it was when I came over here and taught on the soul. They told me if I didn't leave the soul alone, they were going to really destroy me. But they can't do it, because greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. And then people say, well, I can't believe my soul can be torn, or my soul is not all there. Well, that's okay. I mean, it's not my problem and my job to make anybody believe it. My job is to tell it, and I promise you that it's it's real because the devil wouldn't attack like he does if it wasn't. And he wants to stop us from sharing. I had the Lord had given me some more knowledge on the soul when this happened to my husband. And the demons that I was working on and this lady in the church said, he'll not die, but he'll sure pull you. We're pulling you off of what you're doing. You say, I don't believe that. Well, it's true. Isn't it true? And since he's been sick, I haven't had time to get back into where the things the Lord was for me there. So, it's warfare we're in. It's a battle we're in. And if we don't fight, the enemy will wipe us out. You know, we're God's, what did you say, we're his battle axe, we're his weapons of war. And the enemy wants to stop us from doing that which God has called us to do. I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for any of it, but I seem to have inherited from somewhere. And I said, told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll do it and I'll do anything you tell me to do. I told the Lord that Jim and I were going to pack up our car and get on to hit the road. I told the devil that too. I said, the more you attack, the more we're going to go. And I said, if I have to live out of the back end of my car, I'm going and I'm going to preach anywhere as people are asking me to preach. And I'm going to do it. And I'm doing it. And I praise the Lord that God has given me the privilege of doing it. So I must be doing something right. I don't know. But anyways, going on. Let's go over to Psalms 120. I quoted that a while ago, but let's go look at it. Psalms 120, no, 107, excuse me. Praise the Lord. Verse 20, right, Doc, quote it for me. Well, let's start up I'll stay with that one. Verse 20 said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent Jesus. He sent his word. Over in John, in the first chapter of John, verse 12 said, to as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. So as we receive his word, he is the word. As we receive that word, it brings healing and deliverance in our bodies. Amen? Now, let's go over to Isaiah 55. I'm not going to tell Dr. Burris the quote. He knows what I'm going to. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. God said in his word, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. He sent his word and healed them of their diseases. He said, my word that goes forth out of my mouth will do that which I sent it to do, and it will prosper in the things that which I please. He said, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So it's God's word that goes forth. It's his word that brings healing. It's his word that brings salvation. It's his word that meets every need we have. Second John says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Is your soul prospering? Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah 45. I've fought with a man in our church for years. He's 87 years old. He and I had just fight all the time. He says, now, Mildred. I said, Morton, the word says it. That's it. I'll tell you what else he said in just a minute. Let's see. Isaiah 45, verse 11. Said, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my son and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Morton and I followed that scripture. He said, you can't command God. I said, I didn't say I could command God. I said, he said, concerning the works of my hands, and I'm the work of his hands. You're the work of his hands. All the things, everything he made, God made it with his hands. And he said, concerning those things, that word command is asking him to perform his word. It's his word. And bless his heart. I don't think even after all these years I've got through to him yet on that. But I said, Morton, God created you and I from the dust of the ground. He made us with his hands. But you know what? That man believes when we pray for him, he's healed and he gets his healing. I don't care what it is. You pray for him, he's healed. He had an accident. In fact, this was the third one, I think. We were concerned they were going to take his driver's license away from him. I'd been after him by his speed demon. I said, you're too old to drive that fast. I just said it like it is. I said, your reflexes are not as good as they were, and they're going to take your driver's license away, and you're going to be stranded. You can't even get to church. And that woke him up because he lives in Memphis, and our church is 20 miles away, 25. He has to drive to church. But he had an accident, so this time the insurance company wouldn't insure him. He had to go have a physical. He had to do a whole lot of things. Came in, his blood pressure, they said his blood pressure was high. Something was wrong with his heart. He said, I got to have prayer. I said, okay. Yeah, we'll pray for you. And we're breaking curses off of him, lay hands on him, command his heart to function normally, blood pressure be normal. Okay. You do deliverance on him, he's sitting there like, Doc. You know, that's the way he gets deliverance. He opens his mouth and I get so aggravated, I thought. He didn't get in saying, you know, great faith person I am. He leaves. He comes back, he said, I went to the doctor, my blood pressure's normal, my heart's beating right. He said, I passed my physical, I got my insurance. 87 years old. And he always gets deliverance. Always. He always gets healed. But it's always just, I said, Morton, cough at least, cough. I said, oh, forget it. But he is something. He just believes. He latched on to, he was the one that got healed how many years ago? Of epilepsy. He'd been on Dilantin for years. He came into the church and said, I need deliverance. Well, I tell you what, he came in and brought his wife. You know, our wives need deliverance more than we do. My husband needs a lot more than I do, you know. He said, he called and he said, I want to bring my wife again. I said, she's imagining things. He said, she needs deliverance. Well, he came and we prayed for him. We prayed for her too. And she was healed of leukemia. The doctors had diagnosed her as having leukemia, and God healed her. I think I told that upstairs. Our little granddaughter did deliverance on her. She's 7, wasn't she? Shannon was 7. And she did deliverance on her, and she got healed. She got delivered. She went back to the doctor, and she was free from it. But he got delivered from that epilepsy. And we told him, don't you throw that medicine away. You've been on that all... Great faith. You've been on that all that long time. You know, you go back and have it checked out. Well, he got off of it. He did go back to the doctor and had checked. But he got off the medication. So came out to church several years later. He was coming to church one day, and he told me, he said, you know, Mildred, he said, that epilepsy tried to come back on me. And I said, what happened? And he told me, I said, Morton, rebuke that thing. Don't let it come back. Don't you take that back. So he rebuked it. He has never had another symptom. And that's what I'm talking about. I told Jim, I said, that man believes. And when you believe, you can't get him in the things of the Spirit. He can't comprehend some reason or another. He has trouble with the Spirit of the, you know, the Holy Spirit. He prays in tongues. He plays the violin. Glenn would enjoy his violin playing. And but spiritually, don't let him have the stake, Lord. It'll really murder me if he gets it. But praise the Lord. What I want you to see, though, is that when we believe, it works. And he has received everything. When you tell him, show it to him in the Word. But he had trouble receiving this concerning the works of my hands. Commanding me. He said, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my cities, and he shall... Let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Who's he talking about? I know that the Lord Jesus came forth and set us free, but he gave us the authority to go forth and do that work. And everything he made is, I shared some of it upstairs, we're made from the dust of the ground. And therefore, command your body to line up with the Word of God. Every muscle, every bone in this body, every ligament, every nerve, every tendon, the heart, the lungs, the liver, the kidneys, the bladder, anything, God created it out of dust. Don't you believe you can make it, command it to line up with God's Word? Our problem is, and we're all guilty of this, but I commanded it to go, to line up with the Word of God. But only I did it and nothing happened. Well, my theory is to do it till something does happen. Keep telling it to line up. You will line up and function the way you were created. Function, so I've been telling my husband's wrong. I said, you're going to function the way God created you to function in the name of Jesus. You will not cause him to be short of breath. You will not do harm to him. You will leave him and be gone in the name of Jesus. And I command to function normally in Jesus' name, and you will obey God's word. You will not make a lie out of God's word long. You will obey in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come in line, line up a line. Every muscle, every nerve, every tendon, every part of this body, line up with God's word. And as the blood flows through it, Father, you said you'd cleanse the blood that has not been cleansed, and I ask you to cleanse his blood right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. I lose strength to him. I lose healing to him. I lose deliverance to him in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Everything, the cankerworm, the palmerworm is stolen, Father. You said you'd restore. Restore, Father, in Jesus' name. And I command the devil to get his hands off of it and bring it back in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. He's been healed of diabetes since we've been here. Praise you, Jesus. He has not taken any of his medication for 7 days. It's been a while. And we praise God for it. We praise the Lord. God, I told him, I said, God's not going to do a partial healing. His word works. And we command that blood to be cleansed. We command every part of the body. And we're going to continue to do it until we see it manifested in him. I hadn't prayed for him before since we left the hospital. And I prayed in hospital for him and all that, but most of the time, I just said, the devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. He is a liar. He lies. And the problem is, most of the time, we try to believe his lies. I told Jim, I said, doctors are not God. The doctor knows not God. He's just full of God. And if the rest of them are as full of God as he is, it'd be better, wouldn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, anyways, what I want you to see is he sent his word, and he healed us and delivered us. You know, I really like this group, and just be myself. Glory, 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 glory. Isaiah 43, verse 26. Well, verse 3, verse 25. He says, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions. For mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Lord, your word said it. He said it in his word. So we just say, Father, this is what your word said. We will put you in remembrance of your word. Now, let me give you the other one that I use. I have stood on for years, and I believe it. Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 12. He said, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. You know, I tell people when you pray, and you pray like you want to, but that's the way I pray. I pray God's word. I pray his word because that's, God hears his word. He hastens his word to perform it. I can pray he hears me because of Jesus, but because I pray in Jesus' name. But when I speak his word, for years and years, I was quoting Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. And I was taking the prayers of Paul, and I was praying that God would give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. He'd give me understanding. He'd give me wisdom. He'd open his word. I said, Lord, you promised to give me the hidden manna of your word, Revelation 2:26. I said, you said to the overcomer, Lord, I want to be an overcomer, but I want the hidden manna of your word. I want to know what you're saying. I want to know what you're really saying. And God began to give things to me and open it up to me, and I began to understand it, and I think, Were you ever praying for someone on the telephone, and they'd call you and they'd ask you something, and you know, and want you to pray, and you think, Lord, what am I doing here? What do I say? And all of a sudden, you just knew exactly what to say. God just gave you the right words. I was doing that for a long time, and all of a sudden, it dawned on me, and it didn't dawn on me. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, just remember, I'm the one giving you those words to speak, and he was the one dropping them into my spirit. And the need was there. And so if he does that when we're praying over the phone or for someone to minister to them, he will do it when we pray and when we speak his word and we stand upon his word and believe in all the unbelief. Demons tell me I'm too old to do what I'm doing. I told them I just started. I'm 72. Send me 72. I got a birthday this month. Remember that. And so Moses lived to be 120 years old, so I got a long ways to go yet. I told them I was going to cast out devils till Jesus comes. And I am. I pray I'm in a big battle when he returns. Amen. But he hastens his word, and as long as I'm speaking his word and praying his word, he watches over, he performs his word. And put him in remembrance. Come and let us reason together. I was telling the church at home, I said, pray the word. Word, stop whining and bawling before the Lord. I said, you're going to worship the Lord. That's one thing, but don't go before him and beg. You're his child. And said, Father, you said to ask. And I said, and now I'm putting you in remembrance. And you said, I know you know what your word says, Father. I know you know, but I'm telling you that I know this is what your word says. And this I know is what you want me to do. You want me to know what the word says. And so I'm telling him what his word says so he'll know that I know what it says. And he said he watches over his word before it, that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will endure forever. Over in Psalms 8, chapter 8, praise the Lord. Don't pray I find me a Bible I like. I am. I really need one. In chapter 8 and verse, I'm going to start with verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. We read some of that over there in Isaiah a while ago. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. He said he made man to have dominion over the works of his hand. And he's put all things under the feet of Jesus. Okay? So, in Ephesians, it says, we're in his body, and the devil's under his feet. So that means that he's under my feet, because I'm in Christ, in his body. In Ephesians 1, verse 23 says, all things have been put under his feet. Here we see that man, what is man that thou mindful of him? And he says, I've given man dominion. Jesus restored back what the devil stole in Genesis 1. When God said in Genesis 1, 26, that he'd given man dominion. Let's read it. Over in Hebrews, it talks about it too. That he made man a little lower than the angels. And he crowned him with glory and honor. And then because of Jesus, what Jesus Christ has done for us. And all the glory and honor goes to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 7 of chapter 2, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And over in Psalms we just read where he gave man dominion over the works of his hands. That's not hard to believe, is it? Well, then why do we not take that authority and kick the enemy out of our ground? Is it because we don't really believe it? I don't know. But I am so tired of the devil doing the things he does. And I know the authority and power God has given unto us. He's given us power. He's given his power and authority. Luke 10:17 says the disciples came back rejoicing that the demons were subject unto his name. And Jesus said, don't think anything about that. That's just ordinary way to live. I mean, that's my interpretation of what he said. But rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so he said, you know, you walk in this authority. I skipped the verse 18. He said, well, Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And then he says in verse 19, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any, it says, I give you power over all the authority of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that's authority over all the devil's power. It didn't say part of his power, it said all of it. And nothing will hurt you, harm you. People afraid, sometimes afraid to stand up and say, "Devil, get your hands off of me and off my family." And one lady in our church quit binding and loosing and stopped because she said the work there got so bad that the backlash got so bad. She said, "I just can't take it." By the way, she's dead. She died about 5 years ago, didn't she? She said it's just to the work. The backlash is too strong. She said She fought the enemy. She bound in the heavens. She bound over her family. She bound over the church. She bound. But the enemy began to attack her family. And when he did, she said, "I quit." It was a very short time she died. And her husband died. But people become afraid. And what we've got to do is, no matter what the enemy does, we still come against him until we pull down his strongholds and tear down his ability to attack our families and to attack us. God has given us the authority. He said in Ephesians 6, he says that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in heavenly places. And we begin to think sometimes we're fighting flesh and blood, I guess, because we back off instead of binding the heavenlies. We need to continually bind. You know, if we just begin to pull down the stronghold of the devil in the heavenlies, if everybody would bind and loose, I hear very little binding. I hear people get up and pray and they never bind anything. And that's the very first thing. When four of your feet hit the floor of the morning, you should say, "I bind principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. I bind the strong man over this house. I bind the strong man over my family, over my kids." I name my kids. One about my four children. And I don't name their families, I just say, "I bind Satan's power over James and his family, over Carol and her family, and over John and his family, and over Martin and his family, in the name of Jesus. Satan, get your hands off of them. You're not going to harm them today. I ask the Father to cover them with the blood of Jesus. Station angels around them. Put angels in their path and destroy every trap and snare the devil has laid for them today, in the name of Jesus." And then I pray over my place. You know, we should pray and be so powerful in God that every time you hit your feet on the floor, the devil says, "Whoop, they're up again." And we're not doing it. He should be afraid of us when we get up. I've had the demons tell me this: "Why don't you quit doing what you're doing and do like everybody else? Said you're too old to do it to start with, and said you ought to be enjoying life. Said we don't care if you do a little bit of deliverance. Just leave us alone." That's what they say. Don't they do that? "Just leave us alone. Little ones, and leave us alone." He said, they say, "Doc," they say to me, "what can we give you? We'll give you, just name your price. Name your price." I said, "You ain't got it." "That's right. Send you right for the place where you're supposed to be, in the bottomless pit, in the name of Jesus." I had demons tell me not to send them down there. They didn't want to go down there because there was a place down there that had our church's name on it. And all those demons were there. They didn't want to go. Had our church's name on them. Said, "You're not putting me down there with them other blanky blank demons." Says, "Your church's name's there. We're not going." I said, "You just bet you are, too." And he did go. He did go. Tell you, God's given us authority to do it. And we need to do it. Amen? I want us to get on these sickness spirits in just a minute. But in Revelation 15, if we will start walking in the power and authority of God, we can become overcomers. We sing that, what is that song we're always singing? There's another one that says we have overcome. I said, no, we hadn't overcome. We're still overcoming. It's one of the songs that we sing, and it's wrong because it says we've overcome. And I said, no, we hadn't. We're just still overcoming. But in Revelation chapter 15, and verse 1 says, "I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a great sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his mark, and over his over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand up having the hearts of God." Now, to me, that's a picture of the overcomer having overcome the devil and all his works. I know that what this is saying, but God's telling us that we can overcome, and we will overcome, and we should overcome, and we overcome by the Revelation 12, verse 11, by the blood of the Lamb. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand up on his word. Devil, we are blood bought. We are washed in the blood. We are justified by the blood. We are sanctified by the blood. And we are cleansed by the blood. We overcome him. And they love not their lives unto death. Amen. Amen. That's exactly what we're doing too, right? We're going to stand on it and live it and believe it. And we're going to see God perform his word. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to do some deliverance for those that want it. We're going to believe the word. We're going to go after physical problems. I've got a couple of pages of spirits of infirmity that I want to call off in the name of Jesus. And so, put your feet flat on the floor, uncross your arms and your legs, and believe God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. I thank you for each one that's here this afternoon. Lord, I just ask as we go into deliverance that you open our ears to hear. And Lord, that I just bind unbelief and doubt in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind the strong men in the heavenlies. I bind principalities and powers and rulers of darkness over the camp. I ask the Father, I ask you to send angels in to sweep this church, to clean out every spirit left over from the other deliverance in the name of Jesus, that they'll not linger here. And then these that come, the angels of the Lord take them to the bottomless pit and bind them there till the day of judgment. Let none of them linger around here to cause any problems in Jesus' name. And Father, I just ask for as many angels as we need in here. You know how many we need, and we ask for them, and we thank you for them. And I ask you, Father, now to cover each one with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of infirmity. In spirits of infirmity, in the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them and let them go. I come against death, cancer, skin cancer, colon cancer, tumors, colitis, infection, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, loosen them and let them go. Come on out of there. Infirmity, death, cancer, skin cancer, colon cancer, tumors, colitis, infection, breast cancer, cancer of the blood, controller of infection, high blood pressure, back pain, ear infection, bone disease, come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all body pains, cancer of the pancreas, cancer of the lungs, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stomach cancer, come out now. Infection of the urinary tract, come out of there. Infection in the kidneys, bladder infections, in the name of Jesus. Loosen them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. All allergies, arthritis, cataracts, epilepsy, come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, loosen and let them go. Heart enlargement, heart murmur, glaucoma, fungus, itching, skin rashes. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Spirits of tiredness, exhaustion, all mind diseases. Let them go. Skin rashes, leukemia. In the name of Jesus, heart constriction, heart blockage, weakness, smothering. Come out now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Heart attacks, strokes, high blood pressure. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out. All kind of kidney infections and all kinds of, I call out tiredness, exhaustion, madness, insanity. I call out just mean spirits. I call those mean spirits out in Jesus' name. Just plain old meanness. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Turn them loose and come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits that just are ugly, come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, insanity, fear, all kinds of fear in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, confusion. Loosen them, let them go. Confusion of the mind, forgetfulness. Loosen them. Come on out of there. Brain tumors. Come out now in Jesus' name. Mind control. Suicide. Nervous breakdown. Come out of there now. Migraine headaches. Kidney infection. Come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loosen them and let them go. All kinds of infirmities. Spirits of infirmity. All kinds of diseases. Loosen them. I call out cancer, heart attacks, leukemia, cancer of the skin, colon cancer, all tumors, and breast cancer, in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Turn loose and come out of there now in Jesus' name. High blood pressure. Come out now in Jesus' name. Controller of infection. Loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cancer of the lungs. Cancer of the colon. Cancer of the liver. Come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Turn them loose. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Mind diseases. Insanity. Fear. Paranoia. Come out now. Confusion. All kinds of mind confusion. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, spirits of suicide, nervous breakdown, migraine headaches, kidney infection, all the kidney infection in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. In the name of Jesus, turn them loose and come on out of there. Come out of there now. All tiredness, exhaustion, infirmities, death, cancer, all the cancer of the blood, cancer of the liver, cancer of the colon, cancer of the lungs, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, turn loose and come out. Spirits of infection, loosen them and let them go in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them, come out of there. Spirits of depression, come out of there. Inferiority, come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out all blood diseases, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, infection in the blood. Come out now in Jesus' name. Let them go. I call it come against witchcraft, magic, bitterness, fault finding. Come out there. In the name of Jesus, rejection, unbelief, spirits of unbelief and doubt. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Headaches, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Migraine headaches, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen, come out there now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, everybody's well. Praise the Lord. Great. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Turn loose and come on out of there. Let's go back over those cancer spirits again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break the curse of death. It's been loose on everyone. I call that spirit of death off in Jesus' name. Curse of death. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go. Spirit of death. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose and come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I call off cancer, skin cancer, colon cancer, tumors, colitis, infection, in the name of Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not done yet. Okay. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just call for the anointing to come forth and break the yoke of the enemy. I bind any spirits that would hinder deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. We bind spirits. Release the Spirit of God to move. Father, let your Spirit move. Let the anointing break the power in the name of Jesus. 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 The Word says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And so we just call upon you now, Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I call out all the fears in the name of Jesus. Rejection, spirits of I'll call out all the unbelief and doubt in the area of healing. I call that doubt out in Jesus' name. Loosen them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Come on out there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and cough those things out. Make them move. Come on out there. Doubt. You're not a God. Come out now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the doubt and the unbelief. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of there. Come out of there. Let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them. Come out of there. All the doubt and the fears, all the fears, come out in Jesus' name. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, And I've called out that hardness of heart, that spirit of hardness of heart that keeps stops the word from entering in. Come out of there now, in the name of Jesus. Unteachableness, unteachableness. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. All the unforgiveness, all the resentment, in the name of Jesus. Loosen them and let them go. Come on out of there now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Turn loose. I break the curse of hay fever and call it off. Come on off of her right now. Hay fever, spirit of hay fever, come out of there. Hay fever, let her go. Let her go. Come out of there. Come out of there. Turn her loose and let her go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Loosen her. Loosen her. Come out of there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the allergies. Spirit of allergy. I break the curse of allergies and I call allergies off. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Allergies. All the allergies, come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hay fever, asthma, flu, all the flu and all the emphysema and all that comes forth, come out of there now. Influenza, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All the hay fever, sinus problems, all the congestion, lung congestion, come out of there now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Asthma, I break that power of that spirit that causes asthma and command it out, come out of there now, in Jesus' name. Turn them loose, in the name of Jesus. Spiritual blindness, blindness and cataracts on the eyes, come out, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I call cataracts off, in Jesus' name, let them go. Let her go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Turn her loose and come out of there. Let her go. Let her go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Listen and let go. Come on out of there. All the allergies, all the fall, the things that come in the fall, we call all this ragweed. It's a spirit that comes, some kind of pollen allergies. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen and come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Irma said, you said something the other day when I was ministering, and I'm going to get it right now. I break the curse of bestiality and I'll call it out. In the name of Jesus, spirit of bestiality, come out of there. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen and come out. Turn loose and come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I call out bone diseases. Anybody have trouble with their bones? In the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. I call those bone diseases out in the name of Jesus. What is that from the eating of the pork? I forget the name. Trigonosis. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of trigonosis from eating pork. Come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Give me, you got to write that down so I won't forget it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Come on out of all the bone diseases. Cancer of the bone. I call cancer of the bone out. Arthritis. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Cancer of the bone. Come out of there. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I call that. I call leukemia out of the bone marrow. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. Turn them loose. Come on out of there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call that osteoporosis in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out now in Jesus' name. Loosen them. Loosen them. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Come out of the back. Come out of the bones. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break the curse of Eve over all the women in the name of Jesus and call that premenstrual thing out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, it goes with the curse of Eve and I call it out. Break the power of it and call it off. Come on out there in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loosen them. Come on out there in Jesus' name. Jesus. 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 Did you have something you want? Okay. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You got anything you want me to call? Tell me. astigmatism, okay? In the name of Jesus, I'll break the power of them and command them out. Come on out there in Jesus' name. Let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. Come on out there. All those stigmatism, come out of there. Now in Jesus' name, the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Loosen and let go. Let go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, this is better, cheaper than going to the doctor. So tell me if you've got anything else you want me to go. Excuse me, ma'am. Diabetes, hereditary diabetes. I break that curse of diabetes, hereditary curse of diabetes in the name of Jesus, and I call it out. Loosen them. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break every curse of alcoholism. And call a spirit of alcohol off. Come on out of there. Curse of alcohol, too. Come out of there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. I command those eyes to line up and be balanced in the name of Jesus. And whatever's calling them to not be balanced, to come out of there. Let him go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Let them go. Turn loose and come out of there. Hyperglycemia. In the name of Jesus. There you go. I knew it was something else. I didn't think it was. Spirit of hyperglycemia. Come out there. Come out there now in Jesus' name. Turn loose and come out. Let them go. Turn them loose. Come on out there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I call mockery out. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of mockery. Spirit of mockery. It goes with alcoholism too. In the name of Jesus. Mockery. Wine. Spirit of wine. Wine is a mockery, and I call wine, I break that curse of wine, and I call it out. Wine and mockery, and it goes together. This rage goes with that, too. Strong drink. Strong drink and rage. Rage and anger that goes with it. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Rage. I call that anger and rage out that go and mockery that goes with wine. Come out of there now. And I call that spirit of wine out. I had to get my son delivered from the spirit of Budweiser. He drank Budweiser beer. And we're sitting there one night and that thing manifested. And I said, you come out of there in the name of Jesus. And man, he manifested. We just lose healing for every place where the enemy has torn in the name of Jesus. Father, let the anointing oil of your Holy Spirit, the oil that ran down Aaron's beard, just let it minister healing to every part of that every part of the body that's been torn in any way, in the name of Jesus. And where those spirits were, Father, we just ask you now. Let's ask the Father to fill us afresh, fill us every place. Father, we just ask you, fill us now, fill us up to overflowing, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let the Holy Ghost just minister to each one of us in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for all that you've done. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and give you glory and honor, and I bind backlash and retaliation. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. And I ask you to cleanse the church, sweep the church out now in the name of Jesus. Father, we send an angel with a sweeper angel to sweep out every foul spirit in Jesus' name. Let none of them linger in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we'll praise you and give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.